Heavenly Father, as we started out this year of 2019, and even if we go back and revisit the last couple of days, we want to thank you for your blessings. And Lord, as we go forward, we rely on you, and we ask for your strength, we ask for your comfort, we ask for your encouragement. And we ask, Heavenly Father, and I ask that we take a look into our lives and look at our conduct and look at our attitude. Lord, that it may be one that would be pleasing to you. And as we focus on your word, we ask and pray, Lord, that you would help us to put away those things that would distract us. And Lord, that we may focus on your word. And then more so, Heavenly Father, that we may apply it to our lives, which many times becomes very challenging. Times that we know the things that we should be doing and we do not. As Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, the things that I should do, I do not, but the things I do not do, those are the things that I should do. And we ask for your help and we ask for your strength. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give me the words to speak your words and give me the thoughts that all in all it would be to your honor and glory and not to the one that's speaking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for the morning's message, or the title of this morning's message, and the word for the day that I would like, with the help of the Lord, for all of us to think on is attitude. The Lord has led me to speak about attitude, perhaps because of a situation that happened at work. You know, we talk about attitudes, we talk about, you know, people that you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you've got a bad attitude. And I don't know if I want to use the word bad attitude, more so the wrong attitude, which could be construed as the bad attitude, or a right attitude. And the Lord has led me to focus on a very well-known portion of Scripture. We've learned of the story in Sunday school, and I'd like to revisit that. And that portion of Scripture is found in Jonah. I'd like to read the first chapter. Jonah is a four-chapter book known as one of the minor prophets only because he only wrote four chapters. And we're going to be focusing on the first chapter, and then we're going to read also the fourth chapter. And I'll be talking about the two chapters in between. And some of us may know of that, the story very well, and if so, may it be just a reminder to us. And then let's look and see how we can apply that to our lives. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the mastership came to him and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said every man unto his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto him, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then the men, exceedingly afraid, said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said unto them, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from their raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life, I beseech thee, take, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And he said, "The Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it may be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it was withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted. And he wished himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said unto Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then the Lord said, "Thou hast had pity upon the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" And the chapter ends. Attitude is something that we will be reading a lot about, and Scripture brings it up. In the book of Jonah, there are many different lessons that we can glean from, that we can learn. But the Lord has led me to this chapter because as I read it and I knew and we know the story, we can see Jonah's conduct. Jonah, one of God's prophets, was instructed to go to Nineveh. To be a prophet of God is one that would speak what God would tell him to speak, And when he speaks it, it happens, and it comes to pass 100% of the time. Nineveh was a sinful city, a city of about 120,000 people, Scripture tells us. Their deeds and their actions were evil before God. And so God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. In a nutshell, tell them that judgment day is coming because of their sin. We read in the first chapter that Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, goes to the west coast, gets in a boat, and goes to Tarshish. Pretty much running away from what God wants him to do. And if we look deeper into it, and as we read the story, if we knew that Nineveh was a city that was perhaps it was the capital of the Assyrian people. They were not nice to the Israelites. It was a capital of the Assyrian Empire, one of Israel's fiercest enemies. And perhaps we can say, well, you know what? Jonah did not like these people. He did not want them to be saved. They are going to receive what they get. They've got what they've got coming to them. They deserve it. But God has something else in plan for them. And in the first chapter, we really don't see an attitude of being maybe disgruntled or being very negative. But his actions of what he did clearly displays the wrong attitude. We don't see a whole lot of interaction between God and Jonah at this time until he gets into the boat. He did not have the right attitude. What is attitude? Attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. I want you to think about these as I read them and how it applies to Jonah. And then we'll think about how that applies and we'll talk about how that would be applicable in our lives. It's the mood you present to other people, a reflection of your feeling regarding a specific task that you dislike doing, which you may show by your lack of enthusiasm or even doing an inferior job. If you're in a situation that makes you sad, mad, or consistently miserable at some point, you're going to develop a bad attitude. It's how you behave around people. When you come back with witty remarks, back-talking, or even being rude. And based on his actions, we can see that Jonah had an attitude of disobedience and rebellion. Perhaps he felt that they didn't deserve to be spared, and they deserved what they had coming. Nevertheless, God instructed and commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh. And while in the boat, he sends this wave. He sends this storm to try to get his attention. But Jonah is in the belly of the ship and he's sleeping. And the mariners then now see what's going on. This is not normal. This is not a normal storm at this time of the year. Something is wrong. They end up casting lots, and the lots fall on Jonah. And then after a series of interrogation questions, Who are you? Where did you come from? Why are you here? What is going on? We know that this storm is because of you, and he confirmed it. He told him what to do. Cast me overboard. The storm is because of me. And we see that the mariners did not want to do that. They did not want to take life. That was not what it was about. And they tried, even the harder scripture says, to row back to shore. But it was all futile. God's making his point. Finally, they tossed Jonah overboard. And then God commissions a big fish, it tells us. Could be a whale, whatever. I doesn't say, doesn't matter. And he ends up being 3 days in the belly of a ship, of this fish. And it took 3 days for God to get Jonah's attention. And in chapter 2 of Jonah, he says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord out of the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he cried by the reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. You see, God uses us. When God has a specific plan for us, and we decide to go against his plan, he has his way about bringing us to what he wants done and how he wants it done. And to some of us, we catch on pretty quick. And to others, it takes a little bit longer. And after 3 days, the fish spits Jonah out on land. God uses unusual ways to get our attention. And then in the third chapter, God commissions Jonah a second time to go to Nineveh to preach unto them and tell them to repent because the judgment day is coming. Though Jonah didn't agree, he was obedient. And the reason why I say that was because of the way he reacted in chapter 4, and we'll talk about that. He goes to a city of 120,000 people and tells them that, look, you better repent because judgment day is coming. In verse 10, at the end of verse 10 in chapter 3, Scripture says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said and he would not, that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Can you imagine 120,000 people repenting where this judgment day went all the way up to the king, and to the king himself has put on sackcloth and repented for the wrongs of the city? And then we see in chapter 4, as we read, Jonah goes out of the city and sits on a hillside wanting to see what's going to happen to the city. And we see another side of Jonah. Again, he was displeased and he was very angry. I wish that there was a continuation of chapter 4. I wish that there was some kind of an ending, but God kind of just, the story just ends. He's sitting there waiting to see what God's going to do. And he's got this bad attitude. Is he angry? God asked him, yes, I am angry. And he's sitting in the heat of the sun of the day. And God creates this big plant to come over him to protect him. And he was grateful for that. Scripture tells us, and then at the end of the day, the next day, he sends a worm to kill this plant. And then he gets even more angry because he is out of his comfort zone now. He's really hot. God provided this wind, this hot east wind to come. And then God asks him in chapter 4, "Is it right for you to be mad, even to death, on something that you had nothing to do with?" You're mad at a plant I've taken you out of your comfort zone. You're upset at this plant, but you're not upset at 120,000 people that have repented, that have turned from their sin. And I think at this point, if somebody was going to ask me to continue on, what would be the next sentence? Probably, if I was God, I would say, and we probably have heard this many a times, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because that's the direction that Jonah was going. His attitude, his focus was not on 120,000 people that have turned from their ways and repented. And God spared them. But the attitude on a plant that was there today and gone yesterday, the next day. You know what? It's very easy for all of us to sit and grab this book and read the book and go through it and say, you know what? Jonah did this wrong. Jonah did that wrong. Jonah did this wrong. He had a bad attitude here. He had a wrong attitude here. He should have done this. He should have said that. It's easy for us to do that. But let's take it home to us. How about looking into our lives and the things that have taken place in our lives? If we can stop and take inventory and say, okay, I see God's taken me into this direction because this is what he wanted me to do, or this is what he wanted me to act, or this is what he wanted me to say, but I didn't. If God's put us in place in a place for us to realize it, what are we doing to correct it? If someone has wronged us, did we retaliate against them? Do we wish something other than the best for them? Do we wish wrong on them? Do we get angry? Scripture tells us that Jonah was angry. God asked Jonah, are you angry? And Jonah says, yes, I'm angry. This is an emotion that God has made us with. When things don't go our way, or when we see that something is done unjustly, or somebody has wronged us. Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So we can be angry, but what do we do with that anger? Does that anger fester and then it continues, grows, and then next thing we know, we're creating a sin because of that? Be angry, but sin not. Jonah knew better than God, or he thought he knew better than God. To the end, he learned a valuable lesson about the Lord's mercy and forgiveness, which extends beyond Jonah and Israel to all the people who repent and believe. Is there some area of your life in which you are defying God and rationalizing it? I'm not going to do it because of this reason or that reason, or I feel that they don't deserve it, or it's not justified. God wants us to be open. God wants us to tell him. God wants us to talk with him. I bring this up because Psalm 139, 23 through 24 states, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So as we start this year, you know, when we have bad attitudes, sometimes we don't see it, but there are others that are quick to remind us and tell us about it. I should say the wrong attitude. It's still a bad attitude. It's the wrong attitude. The question I'm going to leave with you is, what are you doing with that wrong attitude? Where is your attention going to be focused? What are you going to do with it? And how are we going to turn this wrong attitude to the right attitude? Scripture is full of references that are pertaining to that. And as the year's going on, we'll be talking more about that. The wrong attitude and the right attitude. We see that Jonah was obedient after God got his attention. And we see that there's 120,000 plus people that whose lives were spared. But we also see that Jonah's perspective was not on the people, and was not on people that were needed repentance, needed to be saved. So as we go out, as 2019 is upon us and we continue on from day to day, if we can identify and somebody tells us that we have the wrong attitude, let's ask God why. What is it that he has for us? What is it that is in my heart that can I have a better attitude? May God bless his word.